That's a great question.
Here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey.
So in Lexington in particular, we mostly resettle Congolese, and we have the largest population of Congolese within Kentucky.
And he said to me, science is cool, learning is fun. That's what we do.
All the schools in Kentucky present a power word presentation, which talks about verbal bullying, negative perceptions in hip-hop, how to challenge our peers when they use negative words. At the end of the day, words do matter, and it's a catalyst for action.
That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that I hope that all of us will continue to ponder on.
We'll be getting back out to playing live, but some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
I tend to focus on local issues, local people, you know, local being Kentucky.
So we've got these various battles raging between the Attorney General and the governor, and in the background is the former governor.
This is a myth that is really common.
Mountain Dew is not a contraceptive.
Probably is going to cause a pretty bad yeast infection.
An extreme yeast infection.
If you can't deep fry it, spray paint in gold.
Now, will the animal send you like a postcard as a thank you with a little paw print on it?
Who's at fault more, men or women?
The vetting process. You already asked that? Okay.
It works.
Grand piano.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio, coming to you live from the north side of Lexington, Kentucky, over here on 6th Street in the beautiful 100 plus year old Johnson Elementary School, currently known as the STEAM Academy. My name is Chuck.
And I'm Ben, and I bring this up almost every time you say it. Technically, we're not live.
Well,
we are recorded.
Well, no one knows
this
that.
This is not happening right now.
You're not supposed to break the fourth wall down.
I think it's important to be honest. And actually, I think maybe for the first time, well, on a non-holiday, non-best of capacity, this may be our first fully pre-recorded show.
Yeah.
So, don't call.
Well, actually,
you know what? You can call because I'll be sitting there.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing the commercials and the promos and
Ben will get your question to the guests.
Yes. It won't be answered. It'll take a while.
Yeah.
But I'll get your question to them, and we'll answer it on next week's show.
Yeah. You can give us a call at, 859-721-5690.
I think that's
right. The number that will be available on Friday.
Cool.
But with us in the studio is a very special guest. With us is Ashton Wright, who is Lexington's local food coordinator in the mayor's office. Hi, Ashton.
Hey there.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming in. And I'm really excited to talk to you and learn more about the city's efforts to expand Kentucky's vast local food system, which is, you know, already pretty good. We've got a lot of farmland, a lot of producers making all kinds of tasty foods. So my first question for you is, where are you from, Ashton?
I am from right here in Lexington.
Oh, well, perfect. You're a Kentucky proud product.
That's right.
Our local economy.
Born and raised.
That's
so
great. Usually I'm the only person in the room who was actually born in Lexington. When we have guests, Chuck's not born in Lexington. Kyle, St. Louis.
Sure, I'm a Cincinnatian.
I don't think Lexington was born in Lexington. She's from the New Orleans area.
It's a town of transplants.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah.
But thank you for allowing me to join your cities. Appreciate that, guys.
You're outnumbered today, Chuck.
So, Ashton, what initially got you interested in this position, kind of? What made you want to apply to be the local food coordinator?
That's a good question. So I was getting my doctor's. I went away for undergrad.
And where'd you go?
I went to Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee.
Cool.
And then I moved to Atlanta, Georgia.
Are you technically a Rhodes Scholar?
I am not. It's a good question, and often I want to give the other answer, but not an official Rhodes Scholar. Moved to Atlanta to work at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and get my master. I got my master's in public health, and then moved back to the great city of Lexington to get my doctorate in public health at UK.
Cool.
And so as I was working on my doctorate, I had the opportunity to work with a fantastic professor and mentor, Dr. Mark Swanson, who's still there at the College of Public Health. And he introduced me to lots and lots of folks, farmers, local food advocates, nonprofits working on local food systems, and really through that network and those experiences kind of learned about the position and its development. So they started really developing this position right when I started my doctorate. And then 3 years later, when I had my doctorate, they were still trying to sort out funding for the position. So it took a while.
Cool.
But I was just kind of in the right place at the right time and was really fortunate to get the job.
Serendipitous timing.
Yes.
No doubt. So are you a gardener or producer yourself?
I am not. And I have, my husband will tell you that I have a black thumb, not a green thumb. When he goes out of town, he has to, you know, give me very specific instructions on how to keep all of the living things in our house alive. However, I do really enjoy cooking and eating, probably more so than cooking.
All of those are very important.
That's right. So that's kind of how I came around to the local food system.
Well, that's awesome.
Through eating.
Well, you should try to grow some okra. That always gives me a good confidence boost every year when I look at the garden.
That's good.
So from what I understand is the Lexington local food coordinator position is the second coordinator position in Kentucky, right?
That's right.
And so the first is in Louisville. So do you have any relationship with the Louisville local food coordinator and kind of do you all work together?
Absolutely. So Sarah Fritchner is my counterpart in Louisville, and she has been doing this work for, I want to say, 8 years, at least seven. And so my position was very heavily modeled after her position. Folks, leaders here at the city saw the great work that was happening in Louisville under her leadership and wanted to create a similar position. So Sarah was fantastic when I first started. You know, I started a brand new position, didn't know what I was doing, no blueprint. And so I relied on her very heavily at the beginning to kind of get my feet wet and get me oriented to the local food scene, who's who. She made lots of introductions, and we still work together very, very closely. We probably talk via email or text or call every day, so at least multiple times a week. So I'm very grateful for that.
And do you foresee kind of that partnership, maybe a third or a fourth or a fifth local food coordinator popping up in another city like Paducah or Covington?
Absolutely. So actually, there are a couple of positions, one in place and one in the works, with slightly different scopes. But Community Farm Alliance, which is a grassroots advocacy organization, primarily focused in eastern Kentucky, but they do work throughout the state. They have hired a food coordinator that's particularly focused on farm-to-school efforts in eastern Kentucky. Jan Nappage is her name, and she's been on the job not very long, probably 6 months or so. But Sarah and I have met with her and kind of coordinate with her as needed, because neither Sarah nor I have a real large presence in eastern Kentucky at this point. Mm-hmm. And then another exciting development, northern Kentucky, several counties in northern Kentucky have come together and are trying to establish a similar position to Sarah and mine, framed as economic development. Mm-hmm. And so they're in the process of securing funding, but I'm hopeful that that position will be online within the next year.
I hope so. So that's my home turf.
Oh, yeah.
Covington.
Good.
And I notice the farmer's market there is getting bigger and bigger every time I go visit.
So. Absolutely. And Cincinnati is in Northern Kentucky, but Cincinnati in particular is a huge market.
Definitely. Finley Market.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the restaurants there are really interested in sourcing locally. So it represents a really great opportunity.
That's great. And yeah, and I think Kentucky particularly has a major pride about, you know, growing and keeping and feeding our people with local foods. I wanted to ask you, because I had found out that you worked with the Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign. Uh-huh. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. So after I finished my doctorate, I mentioned that I was waiting on this position to be fully funded. So they hadn't posted the position yet, but I needed a job. and I'd worked at the CDC before in Atlanta. And so there was a fellowship position available back in Atlanta, focusing on Let's Move Childcare, one of her initiatives. So the Let's Move campaign is a broad umbrella. They have several different offshoots. Mm-hmm. So this, my position really was focused on implementing and, well, actually providing recommendations for early care education centers, so daycares and preschools, on physical activity and healthy eating recommendations. So what they should be doing with their kids. So that was a really great opportunity. It was very short-lived because this position came available and I left to come home.
Sorry, Michelle.
Yeah. But it was a really, really fantastic opportunity to kind of see how policy and recommendations are shaped at the national level.
And people really underestimate how the impact of something like that, because Michelle Obama told people to start eating better, and I'll be damned if 2 weeks later I wasn't eating a lot better.
Yeah.
Just without, how impressionable am I? Just without thinking, wouldn't you know, I've got greens, I've got peas, I've got broccoli, and I think even the cashier at the grocery store commented on how well I was eating at that point. And you mentioned the farm to school program. Now, what is that exactly?
Sure. So farm to school here locally. So farm to school is a national movement, right? So lots of folks, lots of cities and municipalities across the country are making efforts and strides to incorporate more local food into their cafeterias. And a big component of farm to school is the education component, right? Mm-hmm. Educating kids in the classroom about where their food is coming from, and then hopefully closing that loop and them seeing that food on the line during the lunch day or during the lunch hour. And so here in Lexington, we have a Fayette County Farm to School Coalition, which I've been a part of for several years. And we have members from, obviously, Fayette County Public Schools, several nonprofits in town, Food Chain, the Lexington Farmers Market, manager sits on that board, Glean Kentucky, and others. And really, we're a group that comes together. We're a volunteer group. we come together and meet every month to talk about ways to increase the amount of local food that's being purchased through through Fayette County Schools. And then also we try to assist with field trips and educational activities with the kids in the schools.
What kind of field trips? Where do they go?
To the farm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any farms around?
Yeah.
How close to Lexington are they?
Well, it depends. It depends on what they want, but we have received funding. In fact, we don't have a ton of funding at the moment.
Well, it seems like all you need is a bus and a driver.
Exactly.
Really.
Exactly. But if student groups or teachers have extra pots of money laying around, they can utilize those funds to help facilitate the field trips. And so I believe, I don't want to cite it because I don't want to get the wrong one, but they have gone to Locust Trace, which is our agri-science high school here in Lexington, which is basically a working farm, and so they got to see that. But they have been to farms in the central Kentucky area, and it doesn't happen all the time. I wish it happened more because I think it's a really great opportunity.
I bet the kids wish it happened more. I always love field trips.
Absolutely.
Get out of the classroom.
Experiential education.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
And sometimes we've had farmers come to them, right, in the cafeteria and have them talk about their products and help. We have three lessons, one on the economic benefits, health benefits, and environmental benefits of eating local food. And so it's great to have the farmers come in and do show and tell, bring samples of products that, you know, kids have never tried before. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. What is kohlrabi?
Yeah. Kale.
Yeah. Can I ask you kind of to go back to the farm to school, what are some issues that it's keeping local food away from being in schools?
That's a great question. Very glad you asked. So there are a number of challenges, both on the producer side and on the school side. One of the major challenges is logistics, distribution. So we have, I think, I'm probably going to get this number wrong, I want to say in the neighborhood of 60 different public schools in the city. And although Lexington is relatively small, they're pretty spread out, right? So if an individual farmer, right now, if an individual farmer wants to sell the schools, they would need to deliver to every single school, which isn't realistic or feasible for a lot of producers. So the ones that are selling are typically targeting a handful, right? Doing all five high schools because they have a salad bar.
Yeah.
Or, you know, doing five in their geographic area that's closest to them. Mm-hmm. So I think logistics is a big challenge, although we're working through some of those challenges slowly. Jefferson County is in Louisville, has a really unique model because they have a centralized commissary where they receive all the food in and produce it, and then it goes out to the school.
Gotcha.
So if we had a model like that, it could be a lot easier to incorporate local products.
So it seems like it might be a lot easier for the school if they buy in bulk from factory farm or
Absolutely.
National distribution. So is it just the farmers can't get the food to the schools? Is it that kind of transportation? Or are they producing enough that they could do all the schools in Fayette County if they just had the, again, buses and drivers and trucks?
So I think that's a piece of it. I think there's other challenges around price, right?
Mm-hmm.
So schools are a very price-sensitive market. They have I want to say something like $1.35. Don't quote me on that, but something very small to spend on. It actually, maybe that's what they charge, and I think they have less than a dollar to spend per meal, per student. And so when you consider milk is most of that, and then the center of the plate option, protein, doesn't leave a lot of room for fruits and vegetables. And another challenge here in Fayette County, whereas Jefferson County does allow, because they're preparing in a central commissary, they can handle raw protein, right? So they can get in raw ground beef or raw chicken. Our schools here, because they're mainly heat and serve operations, there isn't a lot of cooking happening at the individual schools. They don't handle raw protein. So that eliminates local protein right off the bat. So really it's focused on produce at the moment. But I will say they've been really successful with a couple of items. Apples have been really successful from Reed Valley Orchard in Bourbon County. And they've been, they're delivering to several schools. I want to say at least probably 5 to 10 schools. But they make sure that they rotate around that all the schools eventually get them. During the course of the growing season. And then another really exciting development this year is Fayette County issued a bid for lettuce, specifically because they're using a lot of lettuce, particularly on the high school salad bars. And so a local grower won that bid. He's a hydroponic grower, so he's able to produce year-round. And so it's really exciting that... So there's local lettuce always at Fayette County Public Schools.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Local Lexington lettuce, Chuck.
Not Lexington, but Kentucky.
Well, that just messes up my alliteration.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Well, that's awesome. That's really great to hear. And do you think there's a push towards getting a centralized distribution center?
You know, I think that's the dream for a lot of folks. I don't think the district is in a position right now to consider that. But I do. It's on. We certainly have made them aware that it would be great to have. But yeah, I don't think in the near future. I think just given the size and scope of Jefferson County, it made sense for them. We're not quite at that scale, but I think to make a really big impact with local producers and to help ease the distribution issue, it would be a really good idea.
I see. And yeah, and I think the concept of local food for me, I mean, beyond just the biological and physiological impacts of eating healthier and having more vitamins, supporting your local economy and having that cyclical support kind of there is, I think from a societal standpoint, knowing where your food comes from, those connections that you make with those producers is another significant factor into it that I think gets overlooked sometimes.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to read this section. This is from a Wendell Berry article that he had in Orion Magazine. He said, "So far as I can see, the idea of a local economy rests upon only two principles, neighborhood and substance. In a viable neighborhood, neighbors ask themselves what they can do or provide for one another, and they find answers that they can find, that they and their place can afford. This, and nothing else, is the practice of neighborhood. This practice must be, in part, charitable, but it is also economic, and the economic part must be equitable. There is a significant charity in just prices."
That's great.
Yeah, and so I think, especially with your doctorate in public health, too, and at UK, can you explain kind of in your opinion how you feel that local food economy improves our local communities?
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, I was having a conversation with some folks at UK today with their integrative medicine folks and talking to them that food really is medicine, right? So you are what, the old saying, you are what you eat.
Is that Aristotle?
Yeah, I think so. That's good. Thank you. Glad you.
Let food be that medicine.
So if you're putting good things in, it's going to really have hopefully a positive impact on your individual health, which then contributes to your overall community's health. But the economic piece is just really important. Reinvesting, spending money locally with local farmers, you know, they're exponentially more likely to invest those dollars locally themselves than if you spent money in a grocery store and it's going out of state. You know, they're going to buy their farm inputs and their tractors and their equipment locally. And their seed. And so that's, again, that's a ripple effect that's going to impact our local economy. That's really important.
Cool. And I know you mentioned discussing with UK, and I think in the past few years, they've really stepped up their local food purchasing when, you know, having entirely Rebecca Grace milk, you know, a variety of local vendors. So do you work with UK pretty closely?
I do. They're great folks. I work very closely with folks at the College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, and also work very closely with the Food Connection, which is a new entity, relatively new entity, that actually was an outgrowth of the contract with Aramark. Mm-hmm. And so they're focused on helping to improve the local food economy and trying to figure out ways to get more local food on campus.
Cool. Well, that's great. Well, just in case you're joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU. We're here in the studio with Ashton Wright, Lexington's local food coordinator, and we're talking about all things local and tasty local foods. So I wanted to ask you kind of what role does your position play with the city council? I mean, how are you all working together to kind of build those connections between Central Kentucky farmers and consumers?
That's a really great question. So I will say there's several council members, including Vice Mayor Steve Kay, who was instrumental in getting my position off the ground. He and folks in Kevin Adkins in the mayor's office and the mayor himself all worked very, very closely to assemble a advisory committee that was established prior to my hiring with various nonprofit groups, members from the University, Cooperative Extension, local farmers, restaurateurs. And so I work very closely with him on food issues because those are very important to him. And I do meet regularly with council members one-on-one if they have concerns or constituent concerns in their communities, if they want to start a farmer's market in their in their neighborhood or their district. And then I report periodically to them, usually every year, kind of give them an update on my work. And so I will say this is a very receptive council. There's lots of folks who are engaged, and probably once a week I'll get an email from a council member or their aide saying, you know, there's this local food issue in our community. Can you help us? So it's great. We have a great relationship.
So beyond the city of Lexington, do you all work in Frankfort with the state government, or do you all work beyond Lexington proper?
Yeah, that's a good question. Policy-wise, certainly the mayor obviously has a great relation, you know, works very closely in Frankfort. I work primarily, I don't work as much with the legislators. I do work with kind of the state agencies. So the Kentucky Department for Agriculture, I work very closely with, and their Kentucky Proud program, the Department for Public Health, and Department for Education a little bit with Farm to School. So usually it's agency to agency versus legislators. But certainly if there's an issue that we think our legislators need to know about, we'll let them know.
Yeah, go lobby.
And what's the difference between Farm to School and Farm to Table? Is it just one's education and one's real life?
That's a good question. So Farm to Table, I would kind of characterize as the broader movement, and Farm to School would be a piece of the Farm to Table movement. For the big kids, the grown-ups. But Farm to School really can be, it means different things to different people, as does Farm to Table, as does local. But it's all about definitions. But Farm to School really, to me, the education piece is very important, but really it's important to get that food in the cafeteria, right? So that they're not only learning about it, but they're seeing it and eating it.
Right. So when you're talking about kids, you've got a captive audience. How do you reach adults who are busy and don't have time to cook, or don't think they have time to cook? They just have time to grab something on the way home or nuke something when they get home. How do you reach them?
That's a great question. And that
robocalls?
Yeah.
Mass emails?
Stand in line at McDonald's and tell them to stop.
Oh, yeah. That's actually not. You have somebody outside McDonald's.
I think they might ask you to leave, but.
Well, that's a great question. So consumer awareness and education is a really big component of the work. And because I'm only an N of one in my shop, I don't do as much of it as I can. I do as much as I can. But we've done a couple of things to kind of help elevate the consumer awareness around local food. One of which, and if we were on TV, or I could wave it to you, but we partnered with Visit Lex last year. They put out an annual publication called Beyond Grits, which is a great resource of it lists all the locally owned, independently owned restaurants in Lexington. And so we partnered with them last year to add a local food sourcing designation, right? So lots of places claim to be farm to table and claim to source from local farmers. And some do better than others. And so we wanted to honor and celebrate the ones who are doing a really good job. And so we came up with a rating system based on their documenting their purchases. They turned in receipts to let us know how much they purchased with local farms. And so you can look in the new Beyond Grits and see if a restaurant has one, two, or three tractors next to it. And that indicates their amount of local food purchasing. So that's a really great way if folks are getting ready to head out to eat, they can hopefully make some decisions about where they want to go based on who's having some good impact with farmers.
Yeah, that's great. And do restaurants ever approach you all and kind of ask, hey, we have this idea, we want to do this, how can we connect?
Absolutely. So lots of restaurants who have been around a long time and some who are just opening often will reach out and say, you know, I really want to connect with producers, or I know this one farmer and I'm buying from him, but I want to buy these three other things. How can you help? And so that's where I come in and help kind of match producers up with who are producing at the appropriate scale for that size restaurant. But that's a really good, we have some really great restaurants in Lexington that are doing a really fantastic job sourcing from local producers.
Yeah. And you can tell. You can tell in the taste.
And Chuck, let's take a quick break.
You want to?
Yeah.
Sure.
And I'll play a song.
Yeah, we'll order a pizza.
Yeah. It'll be, we'll make it like a veggie pizza.
Yeah, please.
And we'll ask them if they have, and if we can get a gluten-free crust.
Yeah.
And locally sourced.
Yeah, we can do
that. Then we'll do that. And we'll be back in a few minutes with Ashton Wright, local food coordinator of the mayor's office.
To Urban Conversations.
Every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. on 93.9 WLXU.
Come sit in the lounge with us. I'm your host, Janice.
And I'm your host, Future, where your voice matters.
Any questions?
And we're back. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU FM.
Yes.
My name is Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And we're here in the studio. Oh, sorry, Ben, you were about to say something.
Oh, I was going to say, nobody's called me the Bingineer in weeks.
That's right.
So, yeah.
You are indeed the Bingineer.
Yes,
and you've been the Bingineer.
Yes.
So,
hello, these many years.
So with us in the studio is Ashton Wright, who's the local food coordinator in the mayor's office here in Lexington. And we're talking about local food movements and all the good stuff that comes with them. Mm-hmm. So, Ashton, I wanted to ask you about farmers. Kentucky farmers, because we got to support them. They feed us, smile upon us every Saturday and Sunday or Friday or whenever you go to the farmer's market. What are some problems that farmers are having to make a living?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great question. So we have lots of young beginning farmers who are having trouble accessing land, right? Mm. Land and equipment, you know, those things are expensive and hard to come by. And so I think for young and beginning farmers, access to land, access to capital, those are some really big challenges. As far as farmers in general, I think many farmers that I've talked to say that finding reliable labor is really challenging. And so some of the farms that I work with utilize the H-2A visa program that brings folks from out of the country over to work, and they are required to, the farmers are required to give them a place to live and feed them and those kinds of things and pay them a living wage. Mm-hmm. And so farmers that utilize that program do think that that's a really effective program. Although there is a lot, being a federal program, there's a lot of red tape I hear involved. And then in terms other point in terms of labor is it's expensive, right? Mm-hmm. So farmers really have to make decisions about how many people to hire, how many people to send to the farmer's market, how many people do they want picking and delivering, because labor can be really, really expensive. Mm-hmm. I think distribution is also a challenge for a lot of farmers. They're really good at growing things, and many of them don't have the resources to have the proper delivery, refrigerated trucks and packing facilities and that kind of thing. Related to those issues, a lot of producers are considering GAP certification. Mm-hmm. So GAP stands for Good Agricultural Practices, which is a requirement that a lot of buyers are imposing on farmers now, particularly to sell into institutional markets. So distributors need to have that certification before they can purchase from farmers. And so that can be an expense, but there's lots of things in place, subsidies, cost share programs in place that can help farmers with those costs. Again, it's time and energy and that kind of thing. And then I think marketing sometimes can be a challenge for producers, right? They're really great at growing things, and they want to be on the farm and they want to stay on the farm. They don't want to go out and sell their product. And that's kind of where I come in. I'm not a saleswoman, but I can help them with that marketing piece.
Yeah. And so in addition to Bluegrass Farm to Table, are there any other resources locally that farmers can turn to for help?
Sure. Within the state, we've got tons of great resources. The Department of Agriculture, as I mentioned, they have a cost share for food safety GAP certification. They have a cost share for organic certification if you want to do that. And then obviously, there's just a wealth of information. Also, the College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, they have tons of really smart people over there who can help producers with anything from production issues to pest issues to marketing issues as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's lots of great folks in the state.
Well, that's great. And Eshin, I wanted to ask you about kind of some real world examples of working with restaurants or schools where you've had success so far since you took over in 2014, right?
Uh-huh. Yep, June of 2014. And yes, I work with restaurants very closely, and I will say restaurants are a great way for producers who are just getting ready to enter the wholesale market or who are just kind of dipping their toe, maybe moving away from a farmer's market, because restaurants are typically really flexible buyers and can kind of change up their menus easily, and chefs are really interested in sourcing really fresh, farm-fresh ingredients. So one restaurant, there's lots of good ones, but one I've been working with very closely as of late is Vinaigrette Salad Kitchen. Mm-hmm. So they have currently two locations in Lexington. They're getting ready to open a third any day in Lexington.
That in Hamburg?
Yeah, in Hamburg. Mm-hmm. And they're also at the same time going to open one in Louisville. They are doing a fantastic job. I approached them very early on, or they approached me. I can't remember which, but early in my tenure. And I started out, we just started with herbs. They wanted to start really small. They wanted some herbs for their lemonades and for their salad dressings. And so we started with herbs, and they started sourcing those. And then we moved to lettuce. So obviously they're a salad restaurant. They use a lot of lettuce.
For sure. Yeah. It's in the name.
And a lot of tomatoes and a lot of kale and those kinds of things. So they've partnered with several farms in the area, one of which is really ramping up their production to meet their needs, particularly with them opening new locations. So I've been really impressed with the way that they want to build the relationship with the farmer and say, okay, this is what we need. We need a ton. Right now you're only producing, you know, a few hundred pounds.
Yeah.
We'd like you to be producing several hundred pounds. How do we help you do that? Mm-hmm. And so they are doing a really great job with helping to nurture those growers and bring them along. So they get a gold star in my book.
That's awesome.
And I'm working with them. Last week I took them out to a local chicken producer in a neighboring county, and we're hoping to work out a deal with them so that they can be using Central Kentucky
that's
chicken.
Awesome.
So
movement in action. I love that.
Absolutely.
So is the ultimate goal eventually to, you know, I know it's impossible, but to replace our local restaurants' supply foods with local products?
Yeah.
Much as we can.
Yeah. I think particularly for the independents who are more flexible and, you know, kind of have more limited menus, I certainly think it's possible to source quite a bit of the food. You know, we do everything from protein to produce to grains, eggs, you name it. So I really think, and we are, farmers are being really resourceful and doing season extension techniques. So we're able to produce local food year-round in Lexington, which is great. Cool. In the surrounding counties.
Now, what about schools? Have you had any success stories?
Yeah.
Local schools?
So I mentioned Fayette County, the apples and lettuce at Fayette County Public Schools, which has really been great. And they are sourcing other items as well. But I want to give a shout out to the Lexington School. Ryan Laudenschlager is the chef there, and he is doing a fantastic job. with sourcing local product. He's partnering with a farm in Clark County to source local protein. So he's buying whole chickens and primal cuts of beef and pork and lots of eggs and produce as well. But he is able, so buying the whole bird or mm-hmm. or more of the animal is really great for farmers because they don't have to move the rest of the animal. Mm-hmm. That's been a really fantastic relationship. Very lucrative relationship for that small farmer. So I've been really impressed with them.
That's awesome. So, hey, just in case you're joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU, and we're here in the studio with Ashton Wright, local food coordinator for the city of Lexington. Yay. Through the mayor's office.
Yay.
So just to kind of shift the conversation a little bit, can we talk a little bit about CSAs?
Sure.
And first of all, for people that don't know what they are, what is a CSA?
Sure.
What does that stand for?
Yeah, it's a good question. CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. And essentially, a CSA share, farm share, is a produce subscription. It doesn't have to be just produce. Commonly, it's produce. It could be meat, could be eggs, mm-hmm. could be bread.
Could be kohlrabi.
Yeah, just the kohlrabi share. But usually, it's a produce subscription of weekly. So you receive a weekly delivery of fresh produce, whatever the farm has available that week, whatever they're picking.
So it's a contract kind of with the farmer.
It's a contract, right? So you pay up front for the whole season, and that really helps the farmer, provide the farmer with working capital to use to buy seed, to buy the necessary equipment to scale up. And then you, again, are a shareholder. You're purchasing into the farm. So mm-hmm. you're a partner in their farming operation with them.
Cool. And what are some CSAs here locally that people can get involved with?
Oh, gosh, there's a lot.
First of all, does the city have a CSA program?
We do. And so we're very excited to announce, based on some research, some fantastic research done by Dr. Tim Woods in the UK Ag Econ Department. He did a study that demonstrated that people who subscribe to a CSA, go to the doctor less, spend less on prescription drugs, feel healthier, and eat more fruits and vegetables, which may be obvious, right? You eat more if you're buying it. But based on this research, several groups in town are interested in this idea of recruiting employers to encourage employers to incentivize their employees to purchase CSAs. Because the idea there, right, particularly if you're a self-insured employer, is that if you're paying for your employer's health insurance, you have a vested interest in their health. And you, if you're
they're feeding, they'll take less sick days.
Exactly.
Maybe you'll have lower expenses for healthcare. See, now this is sounding like an investment more than an expense.
Exactly.
Right?
An investment is exactly how we're spending it.
Right.
So we are very excited. The city has agreed this year to offer a limited number. We're offering about 100 $200 vouchers towards the purchase of a CSA share. So CSA shares range in size and price depending on the farm, but can range anywhere for a small share from a couple hundred dollars all the way up to $600, $700, $800 for a large, robust share for the entire growing season, which is usually about 20 to 25 weeks, usually May to October.
And what kind of organization can participate in this?
So any employer can participate.
Oh, okay.
However, the city, we're only doing it with our employees.
Okay.
There is another organization in town, Bluegrass Harvest, that is recruiting other employers to get their folks to do it. So, for example, UK Health and Wellness is partnering with them to do it. So
cool.
We're really excited. Sign-ups are underway. We have about 90... A little over 90 folks registered. They have to the end of the week to sign up. And so we're really, really excited to get this going.
Yeah, so about how many CSAs are there? Or roughly, how can people get more information about what CSAs are out there and what food they're providing?
Sure. So there's a couple of places. If you go on the Department of Agriculture's website and just type in CSA in the search bar, you'll come up with the extensive list of all CSAs in the entire state. They're roughly, and I think that they're missing a few because, you know, sometimes farms don't register, so they have the best list they can have. But as of last year, there were about 65 CSAs in Kentucky. 7 or 8 of those are certified organic, and about 10 are located in Lexington. Mm-hmm. But about 15 to 18 have delivery options to Lexington.
Cool. And yeah, I wanted to ask you kind of about delivery, because I know some of them will drop them off in one central location, mm-hmm. or you have to go to the farm to get them, depending on what kind of, how is delivery typically handled?
Yeah, so it happens in all the ways that you just said. So for our pilot, one of our big selling points is the farmers agreed to have a city drop-off. So mm-hmm. they're going to drop off at the government center downtown on Main Street, which is really convenient for a lot of our employees. Now, not all of our employees work there in that building, so it's not necessarily convenient for them, but they have other options. They can pick up. Sometimes farms have them at grocery stores, so like Whole Foods, Good Foods have pickup locations, Liquor Barn, people's homes, private residences. People open their porches up to be a CSA drop-off. And lots of folks do have a on-farm pickup as well.
Cool. That's great.
And the good news, one more plug, there is actually a local food delivery business, Farm of the Day, that's really fantastic, that they will actually, they're partnering with local farms to do home delivery. So if you don't want to, oh, wow. you don't want to pick up somewhere, you don't want to remember to pick it up every time, mm-hmm. every week at the same time, you can pay like a really nominal fee to have it delivered to
you. That's
your
door. Awesome. Oh, I didn't know about that.
That's great.
Yeah. That's great. It's like an Uber for local, exactly. local veggies.
Yeah. Meals on Uber.
Yeah.
Well, since we're speaking of the economics of it a little bit, tell me what the double dollars are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Double Dollars, Bluegrass Double Dollars is a project that we started the first year I was here. I wrote a federal grant, my first one.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was very daunting, but very excited to get it. So that my very first year, USDA had a new grant program called FINNY, the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive Program. Say that five times fast.
Quite an acronym.
That's right. FINNY is what we call it. And so they really, it was a provision of the Farm Bill, and they wanted to incentivize folks participating in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, formerly known as food stamps, mm-hmm. to purchase more produce. And I said, okay, that's great. Let's encourage them to buy local produce, Kentucky-grown produce. So we partnered with four organizations, Lexington Farmers Market, Good Foods Co-op, Lexington Market East End, and Fresh Stop Markets to participate. And so at those venues, SNAP participants can go swipe their EBT card, their electronic benefit transfer card, and they get double the amount of money to spend on fresh Kentucky grown produce.
Wow.
So we're really, really thrilled about that project. And if I can plug our expansion of that project,
please do.
We're 2 years in. And we've redeemed over 15,000 vouchers for fresh local produce, and that's returned over $40,000 to local farmers in the area, which we're really proud of. And we are currently partnering with Community Farm Alliance to scale this program up and out. Community Farm Alliance has had a similar program operating for a couple of years, and so we decided to merge efforts, combine funding streams, go after some grant dollars together. And so June 1, we're going to be rolling out with Kentucky Double Dollars, so it'll be beyond Lexington, which we're really excited about.
That's awesome. And yeah, I think that's a great program, and I know a lot of people who've eaten local because of it.
Yeah,
so it's good to hear. Directly benefiting. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can redeem those at, well, maybe not redeem, but you can use those at Good Foods Co-op, the Farmers Market, and a place like that.
Lexington Farmers Market, yep, all five locations. Lexington Market East End, which is a corner store at the corner of 3rd and Race, and both Fresh Stop Markets, Castlewood and East End Fresh Stops are.
Yeah, and that's a great segue into, I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of Lexington food accessibility and food deserts here, and kind of what are some issues that we're experiencing, you know, in places like, you know, like the East End, where there isn't a Good Foods Co-op, or there isn't a farmer's market that's coming through there, you know, what's being done to kind of address that?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And it's a big problem, right? There isn't fresh food available. And the Tweens Nutrition and Fitness Coalition, Jeremy Porter, who's the executive director, that organization has been working with, you talked about the East End, with Lexington Market East End for several years. They were doing some research with them and trying to help them figure out different ways to bring in different customers and also feed their existing customers healthier food. So they've been trying and are doing a great job with getting them to stock fresh produce. And as a part of the Kentucky Double or the Bluegrass Double Dollars program currently, they're working with local farmers to bring in local product, which is really fantastic. And then Glean Kentucky is partnering with that same store because it is such a main thoroughfare of the East End.
The huge mural.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so Glean is doing a once a week free food distribution. So they will go and bring their gleaned fresh produce and give it away for free, which is really fantastic.
That's awesome.
So that's one strategy that doesn't fix the problem, but Fresh Stops being in the East End has been really transformative for that neighborhood. I think that they're going to continue to grow their shareholders, and I think that that could be really, really positive for the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And I love what they're doing, and shout out to Jeremy for all the good work he's doing. Yeah, he's an amazing dude. So I wanted to ask you about the farmer's market since we discussed it a little bit. I know spring's on the way.
Yeah.
And
you know, tell me about it.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it today.
Do you have allergies or something, man?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
I'm going to take a nap. I'll see you guys.
Well, at least you'll get a cornucopia of delicious local food products to deal with your allergies. But so what's up with the farmer's market? It's happening year round a little bit, but can you explain to people kind of the schedule?
Sure. So yes, we do have one. Lexington Farmers Market is open year round, which they've been open year round for at least 2 years. I think 3 years actually. But they are year round on Saturdays downtown in the Fifth Third Pavilion on Main Street. And so their hours change a little bit. So April to October, they're open 7 to 2. And November to March, they're open 8 to 1, and that's year-round down there. They're also open on Sundays on Southland Drive, starting in April through October from 10 to 2. And they're also on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can find them May to November from 7 to 4 at the corner of Broadway and Maxwell.
Cool. Near Rupp Arena.
Yeah, yes. A little parking lot space over there.
Absolutely. So that's a good weekday market. There's also three other farmers markets in town. And so some people think that, you know, it's all one big market, but they're actually different business entities. So there's Lexington Farmers Market, which I just mentioned. And Bluegrass Farmers Market is another market that is open. They have their opening day April 22nd. You can find them Saturdays from 9 to 2 at Liquor Barn in Hamburg, as well as 9 to 2 at Azure in Beaumont Center off Harrisburg Road. And then weekdays, you can find them Tuesday afternoons 2 to 5 at the Liquor Barn in Hamburg, and Thursdays 3 to 6 at Azure. And then we have the Chevy Chase Farmers Market, which is in front of John's New Classic Shoes on Ashland, South Ashland. And they are open on Sundays from 10 to 2.
Which is also near a liquor barn.
Yeah. I'm
going to have to start coupling my trip.
That's right.
Sure, I go to liquor barn when the farmers
market. Your gin with your fresh cucumbers.
Absolutely.
And they should open in May-ish. And then finally, the West 6 Farmers Market. So down in the Bread Box, they have a Wednesday market from 5 to 7:30, starting in May, and usually running through August.
Wow! So many opportunities.
Yes.
Now, is all this listed online somewhere where I can go and
That's a really good question. Yes. I need to add Chevy. Well, I need to add West 6 because this is only their second year of operation. But yes, if you go to the Bluegrass Farm to Table website.
Bluegrass Farm to Table website.
.org. BGFarmToTable.org. You can find that as well as a list of CSAs just in the Lexington area.
Great.
That's awesome. And you know, I can't stress to our listeners enough. If you've never been to a farmer's market, and
it's fun.
Yeah, it's a great time. You get to meet the people who are producing the food that you eat.
And often there are treats.
Yeah.
Yes.
Around.
Yeah. Free samples.
Yeah. Farm fresh ice cream, if that's a thing.
Yeah, and you
might as well.
Yeah, it is. And you can ask people about, you know, how they grew their food, where they grew it, tips on growing your own food. And so I wanted to kind of ask you, even though, I mean, I know there's always going to be some people who just want to go to Kroger in their pajamas and don't want to mess with the markets. But what advice do you have to people who are kind of on the fence or have never been to a farmer's market?
That's a really good question. So I would definitely encourage folks to go. It's great to go on a rainy day. You always think that farmers always say, what's the best thing you can do to help support small farmers? And it's go to a farmer's market on a rainy day. Because
that's fine.
Yeah. But it's a really great opportunity to, again, like you said, ask questions. How did you raise this? Get to know the farm, get to know their family, and why they're passionate about growing the food. It makes the food food tastes great anyway, but it makes the food taste that much better when you know that it was lovingly raised and cared for. So I would definitely encourage people to check it out.
Now, do you have to bring cash, or with technology now, do they have like their own swiping iPad
deals? That's a great question. Yes, most of the markets have a point of sale terminal. Well, obviously you can use cash, or you can use debit cards. A lot of individual growers will have Square that you can swipe your card, and obviously they accept EBT, so they've got to have
that
an EBT machine.
Yeah.
Not all the markets offer EBT. Lexington Farmers Market does.
Okay.
Bluegrass Farmers Market plans to this year because they want to participate in our Kentucky Double Dollars program.
Absolutely.
Which is great. And I think the Breadbox Farmers Market is also working on getting EBT equipment.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, so first of all, thank you so much, Ashton, for coming in
My
and talking
pleasure.
With us. This was great, and I learned a lot. And you know, as a local foodivore, I guess herbivore, but whatever. I think it is important, and I think here in Lexington we have a really special place here, surrounded by farms, in our urban environment, where you know we get to eat and taste and benefit from that wealth, that harvest.
Absolutely.
And so I wanted to ask you, kind of as a final question, in a year, you know, where do you see our city being as far as supporting its local food systems?
That's a great question. Well, I would love to see more institutions, so educations of higher learning, hospitals, big purchasers of food.
Hospitals would be so good.
Yeah, and I'm working with one.
It's
a couple.
It's a cliche for a reason, what they say about hospital food.
Yeah. But, right, they have a vested interest in health, right?
Absolutely.
And if food is medicine, they should be serving that. And so I think several of them are very interested. So I would love to see bigger players, larger food purchasers, making a commitment to sourcing locally. And it doesn't have to be huge. You know, you can start small with a couple of items, but it really makes those large purchasers can make a really big impact.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ashton, and thanks for all the good work that you're doing to help our farmers out there and help our bellies here.
Yeah. Who we got coming up next, Chuck?
Well, we are going to be talking with comedian Stuart Huff.
Cool.
Who is a Kentucky comedian who has been touring around the states talking about the South. And misconceptions people have about
Do people
Southern
have
comedians.
Misconceptions about the South?
Yeah, they got a few, Ben.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
Yeah, there's some presumptions being made. But we'll ask him more about that nonetheless. But thanks again to Ashton Wright, Lexington's local food coordinator, for coming in and talking to us. And check out bgfarmtotable.org.
Yep.
So check that out. Sign up for a CSA. Support your local farmers. But nonetheless, we'll be right back here in a bit. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU.